Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's classic series on the family called Biblical Parenting. We're pleased you've decided to join us for practical instruction on building healthy relationships in the home. In our culture today, we seem to celebrate the virtue of tolerance at the expense of calling out a son or daughter for their unacceptable behavior. Sometimes, to attain all God intended, moms, dads, sons, and daughters need to confront rebellion. Discipline, combined with an occasional rebuke, are God's instruments for shaping character. Chuck Swindoll begins today by reading from the Proverbs.
When we open God's Word, we are again dealing with three great doctrines. One has to do with revelation, which is God's giving His Word, revealing His Word to men and women during biblical days. That has ceased. And then there is inspiration, where those who received the Word recorded it without error. So that what you have in the original autographs is an inerrant text of Holy Scripture, inspiration, which has ceased. But now we enjoy the benefits of illumination, where we're able to understand, grasp the truths that are recorded for us, like today on the subject of reproof. If you understand anything as a result of today's teaching, it is called illumination, where the Spirit of God takes print from a page, burns it into your mind, and then ultimately leads you to walk in it by application. So we look forward not to revelation, that ceased, we have God's book, not to inspiration, that has ceased. That passage of Scripture we'll be looking at, each one is inspired of God, but illumination, as our eyes are opened and we see, we hear what we would not otherwise know. I'll be reading for you from Proverbs, beginning at chapter 3. If you haven't already located the book, please do so. A good way to remember is that the Psalms are right about the center of your Bible, and the very next book to the right is Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. And turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 5. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Verse 10. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. Verse 31 of the same chapter, 15:31. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. One other proverb, chapter 27, verse 6. 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And finally, a few verses from the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Verse 1, chapter 6, Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Such wise counsel from a book that is ageless, timeless, and true.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us.
I have never heard anyone speak on reproofs. Isn't that interesting? Even though I have listened to numerous messages about the home and family, I have delivered a number of them in my ministry, I do not believe there's ever been a time that I've pulled back and looked at the value of the reproofs that come from those who love us. In fact, it is mentioned so seldom that some of you may not even know what I'm referring to. Among other things, it has to do with caring enough to confront. Exhibiting tough love. Speaking the truth at the right time for the right reason in the right way. Saying the hard thing to someone who we love. Helping them understand that there's a blind spot in their life that is detrimental to them and or to others. Now, you just don't do that with strangers on the street. Of course not. You wouldn't lean over and say to someone sitting right next to you, I need to reprove you about something, if you don't know them. And you certainly should never do such things in public. And so, for this reason, it is something that fits the home perfectly. As we're growing up, we have parents who observe things about our behavior or our attitudes, and they address them if they are faithful, loving parents. And many of us were blessed with such. And then as we marry, we find that the wife or the husband takes up that role and on occasion will say things no one else would say. This is especially true when an individual has reached a place of power over people, a role of real authority. I thought of that when someone handed me a letter that Clementine Churchill gave her husband Winston. A wife's letter to her husband. And what's interesting is that it was sent to him on the month and in the year when the Blitzkrieg was at its height. You who are too young to know anything of the Second World War would not know that the Luftwaffe, the German bombers, came and mercilessly bombed Great Britain, hoping ultimately to break her back. The pressure, the stress of that time rested in many ways on the shoulders of Sir Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister, a powerful man in a powerful position, who ultimately led that nation to victory. In the midst of that time, Clemmy, as he called his wife, wrote this letter. My darling, I hope you will forgive me. Oh, when you start with a letter like that, you know you're in for some real tough talk. I hope you will forgive me if I tell you something I feel you ought to know. One of the men in your entourage, a devoted friend, has been to me and told me that there is a danger of your being generally disliked by your colleagues and subordinates because of your rough, sarcastic, and overbearing manner. It seems your private secretaries have agreed to behave like schoolboys and take what's coming to them and then escape out of your presence, shrugging their shoulders. Higher up, if an idea is suggested, say at a conference, you are so contemptuous that presently no ideas, good or bad, will be forthcoming. I was astonished and upset, she writes, because in all these years I have been accustomed to all those who have worked with and under you loving you. I said this, and I was told, well, no doubt it's the strain. My darling Winston, I must confess that I have noticed a deterioration in your manner, and you are not so kind as you used to be. It is for you to give the orders, and if they are bungled, except for the king, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the speaker, you can sack anyone and everyone. Therefore, with this terrific power, you must combine urbanity, kindness, and if possible, Olympic calm. I cannot bear that those who serve the country and yourself should not love as well as admire and respect you. Besides, you won't get the best results by irascibility and rudeness. They will breed either dislike or a slave mentality. And rebellion in wartime is out of the question. Please forgive your loving, devoted, and watchful Clemmy. To Winston Churchill. Why did it work? She's his wife. She has a corner on his attention in life. No other woman does. She has the discernment that has been gleaned and gained over years of marriage. She knows her darling Winston. She knows him well enough to confront, because she knew that if that continued, it would take a toll on the morale of the people, to say nothing, his own immediate associates and team members. And so, allow me to spend a little bit of time defining the term, and then we'll look at sections of scripture where it is mentioned and draw from that truths to live by. When we reprove another person, we confront attitudes and or actions that need to be corrected. We refuse to look the other way or just ignore because they're under stress and strain, because we know that what we're sharing is good for the one we love and those whose lives she or he touches. To reprove is to risk saying the hard thing. It is to point out what needs to be addressed and probably won't be by most other people, if anyone. Again, it's caring enough to confront. How valuable are friends who love us that much? It was Sir Francis Bacon in the 17th century who wrote in his essay on friendship, "The best preservative to keep the mind in health is the faithful admonition of a friend." I hope you have a few. I'm sad for you if you do not. I regret where your life will go without the watchful eye of one who loves you enough to tell you the truth. Reproof isn't condemning criticism. It isn't a public rebuke that embarrasses. It isn't an angry outburst. Reproof isn't constantly finding fault. So if you're going there, stop going there and reverse your direction. None of us need someone who constantly finds fault with us. And unfortunately, I have seen marriages like that. I've seen young adult children say to me, I've heard them say, "When I think back to our home, all I can remember is a father's frown and a mother's critical tongue." How sad. That isn't reproof. That's condemnation. But how wise are those of us who've had the privilege of listening to parents look at us and say, "I need to tell you something that you need to hear. for your good. And interestingly, when it was effective, it was always said in private. You were never embarrassed in a public setting. Reproof is to be kept on a one-to-one basis. Ideally, it begins early in life. Now, I know some of you are thinking, hot dog, this is my moment. Wait till I get home. I am going to step into this one, and Chuck, thanks for giving me the... No, wait. Hold it. Reproofs are usually given with great reluctance. And they are infrequent. I mean, it's not something you do every day. It's too much. If you do this every day, someone sent me the words of a man who wrote his rabbi. Speaking of that, he goes to his rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, something terrible is happening and I have to talk to you about it." Rabbi asked, "What's wrong?" Man replied, "My wife is poisoning me." Rabbi, very surprised by this, says, "How can that be?" The man pleads, "I'm telling you, I'm certain she's poisoning me. What should I do?" Rabbi, wait. Tell you what, let me talk with her and I'll see what I can find out and I'll let you know. A week later, the rabbi calls the man back and says, "I spoke to her on the phone and I listened to her for 3 hours. You want my advice? Take the poison." Somewhere down the line, there's a woman who failed to learn from the reproofs, so that now her life is characterized by making her husband and family miserable. It's the result of resisting, rejecting, and ignoring reproofs. So if this is exciting you and you can't wait to carry it out, you're not hearing me. It's after thought and prayer, and at just the right time, it is saying in private what you know must be said and cannot be left unsaid. It is speaking the truth in love so that the other person can grow up in that area of his or her life. One of the healthy marks of a mature relationship is the freedom to talk straight. It is one of the things that makes marriage so magnificent. Who else loves us like that partner loves us? Who else can we trust more to talk truth than she or he? Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, we read of a reproof everyone would agree with. It's called divine reproof. And it happens rather regularly to Christians. Proverbs 3, verse 11, "My son." By the way, this is in the "my son" section of Proverbs, which runs from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 7. "My son, my son, my son." This is counsel a daddy is giving a son. This is counsel for the family. My son, he says in chapter 3 and verse 11, "Do not reject the discipline of the Lord." Notice it's from the Lord, or loathe his reproofs. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. I love the way that reads. God doesn't reprove us because he despises us. Oh, on the contrary, he loves us so much, he cannot hold back from reproving us. And haven't we all experienced it? Maybe no one else said anything, but you knew when you went to bed that night, you shouldn't have said that that day. Or when you reacted as you did at the office, you shouldn't have reacted like that. You really owe them an apology. That's called a reproof from God. When you know that your temper has flown off a handle or you've gone too far, you've been overbearing, then the Lord reproves you and he reveals that to you. There isn't a voice in the night. There isn't handwriting in the sky from God. There is just a deep down sense of conviction, good conviction, the right kind of guilt that says, you need to get this, you need to make this right. Don't despise, don't reject the discipline of the Lord. He's reproving you because, like a father with a son, he delights in you. One of the ways our children know that we delight in them is that we care enough to tell them the truth. Who else can? We all look back on our childhood, at least I hope you can, I certainly do, to those times when our dad or our mom pulled us aside, set us down in a room, said, I want you to listen to me now because there are some things you need to learn, son. Or, sweetheart, there are some things I need to confront you with. You're wise if you listen to that, especially if you hear it and then begin the process of breaking a bad habit. Every time I see adults that carry out their life with a series of bad habits, I know they have not been reproved. Or they have been reproved and they have not accepted it. Usually it means they have not been mentored. One of the great things about a mentor is not only instruction, but a reproof. I've had several mentors in my life. Every one of them reproved me about something. Every one of them delighted in me. I felt greatly loved, but it stung. I've heard another reproof from one who loves me more than anyone else. And she has said to me, you are impatient, sweetheart. And I will say, no, I'm not. And she will say, no, yes, yes, you are. For example, and then she'll mention something that revealed impatience. And then it's even to the point where I tend to finish people's sentences. A reproof is hard to hear. One of my mentors said to me years ago, I'll never forget it, Chuck, you have a great sense of humor, but unfortunately, it's often at someone else's expense. He was right. That's why my humor was often back then sarcastic. And sometimes I would say things that would embarrass one in the room, but everybody else would laugh. But the one person who didn't laugh is offended at my expense. If someone is to look foolish, I ought to be the one that looks foolish, not someone else.
Listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll about accepting reproof from those who love us. As you heard Chuck speak today, it's possible you're thinking about a son or daughter who's needed your reproof. Those delicate conversations require sensitivity and wisdom. You'll find it helpful to own Chuck's complete message on CD. It's one of 12 practical sermons in the classic series called Biblical Parenting. To purchase the CDs or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. This month, we're making a concerted effort to add monthly companions to our support team. A monthly companion is someone who agrees to come alongside Chuck with a monthly gift in the amount of your choice. Monthly companions are rewarded with the realization that they're reaching listeners with the kind of clear and effective Bible teaching you expect from Chuck. We hear from grateful listeners every day who tell us how much they value the instruction they receive from Insight for Living, many who are not in a position to support this nonprofit ministry. So thanks for joining us in this worthy mission. With your first donation as a new monthly companion, or when you give a special one-time gift, we'll be saying thanks by providing a unique collection of CDs from Insight for Living called A Living Hope. The first two CDs contain messages from Chuck, and the third CD includes an inspirational concert by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. In fact, the music you hear right now comes from this masterful worship CD, A Mighty Fortress, based on the beautiful 46th Psalm. To give a one-time donation and request the CD collection called A Living Hope, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 4th through the 15th, 2018.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 4th through the 15th, 2018, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Chuck Swindoll continues his message about accepting reproof from those who love us, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.